A frail old man went to live with his son, daughter-in-law, and 4-year-old grandson. The old man's hands trembled, his eyesight was blurred, and his step faltered. The family ate together nightly at the dinner table, but the elderly grandfather's shaky hands and failing sight made eating rather difficult. Peas rolled off of his spoon onto the floor. When he grasped the glass, often milk spilled on the tablecloth. The son and daughter-in-law became irritated with the mess. "We must do something about grandfather," said the son. "I've had enough of his spilled milk and noisy eating and food on the floor." So the husband and wife set a small table in the corner of the room. And there, grandfather ate alone while the rest of the family enjoyed dinner at the dinner table. Since grandfather had broken a dish or two, his food was served in a wooden bowl. And sometimes when the family glanced in grandfather's direction, he had a tear in his eye as he ate alone. Still, the only words the couple had for him were sharp admonitions when he dropped a fork or spilled food. The 4-year-old watched it all in silence. One evening before supper, the father noticed his son playing with some wood scraps on the floor. He asked the child sweetly, "What are you making?" And just as sweetly, the boy responded, "Oh, I'm making a little bowl for you and Mama to eat your food from when I grow up." The 4-year-old smiled and went back to work. The words so struck the parents that they were left speechless, and then tears started to stream down their cheeks. Though no words were spoken, both knew what must be done. That evening, the husband took grandfather's hand and gently led him back to the family table. And for the remainder of his days, he ate every meal with the family. And for some reason, neither husband nor wife seemed to care any longer when a fork was dropped, milk spilled, or the tablecloth soiled. Have we ever considered what is seen through a child's eyes? In this example, a 4-year-old child, obviously watchful, innocently convicts a couple of the callous deed that they contrived. Yet this child was unable or unwilling to see the act as it appeared to adult minds. Rather, he saw it as it actually appeared to him with innocence and humility and love. The psalmist said in Psalm 127:3 that children are a gift from God. They are his reward. Why is God so fond of children? You know, I believe it's because our children see things and say things and do things differently and more humbly and more faithfully and more innocently than us. And as we look at our sermon text today, we're going to see that those things, they caught the eye of Jesus. Let's read what Matthew 18:1-6 says. This is our sermon text today. Let's see what it says. "About that time, the disciples came to Jesus to ask which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called a small child over to him and set the little fellow down among them and said, 'Unless you turn to God from your sins and become as little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, anyone who humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And any of you who welcomes a little child like this because you are mine is welcoming me and caring for me. But if any of you causes one of these little ones who trusts in me to lose his faith, it would be better for you to have a rock tied to your neck and be thrown into the sea.'" Now, we must consider the question that was posed by the disciples in verse 1. It was a question that was steeped in pride and rank and authority and prominence, and it undermined the very purpose of Jesus' passion and his teaching. Jesus had to be thinking, where have these men been? What are they not understanding? And more so, what are they not seeing? My ministry has never been about authority. It's always been about faith. It's always been about innocence. It's always been about humility. Someone once said, most people wish to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. Jesus knows the heart of man, and he knows what man's eyes see. But man, through his own prescribed intelligence, can be blinded by the things that he thinks or believes that he actually sees. You see, in the story read earlier, a couple could not see the way they were treating this innocent elderly man until they looked through the eyes of a humble and innocent child. A footnote in the Living Bible summarizing our sermon text says that we are to be harmless, inoffensive, not malicious, like children. It goes on to say, Christ's disciples are to imitate the virtues of a child, shunning the vices of adults whose values mark them off as lacking moral excellence, end quote. Folks, the disciples, these were not Romans, these were not pagans, these were not unbelievers. These were disciples. And these disciples were guilty of just this. Jesus had to use a child's perspective to show them this. Their vision, their view, their vantage point was skewed. It was wrong, and it had to be called out. Jesus essentially asked his disciples and all of us to look through a child's eyes and view things from a humble and innocent perspective. Now, does this sound like something we would want to do? Most people would say, no way. No way. I don't want to go back to those days. I remember when I was a child, when I didn't know anything, when I didn't have an idea of what to do. I remember those days. I can't go back to those days. Many of us will lean on our own intellect, on our degrees, on our intelligence, and we'll say, I know more now than I knew then. I can't go back to then. I just can't. But this is not what Jesus is asking us to do. See, in many ways, what Jesus wants us to do is see the world and see his people in this world from a different perspective. He wants us to look innocently and faithfully and humbly at those around us. So let me ask you this. Are we willing to innocently and faithfully and humbly admit that we might not act or think or see the way God wants us to be? Jesus knows that a child's heart is humble and faithful and innocent. And he knows that this heart condition impacts his or her vision as the child views Jesus and his parents and his school and his home and the world they live in. Children are interesting, aren't they? They trust innately. It's amazing. I mean, if you look at our children trust their parents. They don't even think twice about it. They look to their parents for guidance and trust because they believe their parents can do anything. They believe the best about others. They look at people. They don't even know people, but they think they're the best without even knowing those people. They're innocent, and they're honest in their assessments, and sometimes that gets us and them in trouble. As adults, let me ask you this. What do our hearts allow our eyes to see? The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1, verse 18, he says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future that he has called you to share. Sadly, the people of Israel did not see this. In fact, in Judges 17:6, during this time of the judges, keep in mind this is a time when they were longing for a monarchy. They said, I don't want this godly theocracy. We want a king. They were looking for something and someone that they couldn't have. But during this time in Judges 17:6, we read these words. Listen to what he says. It says, for in those days, Israel had no king, so everyone did whatever he wanted to do, whatever seemed right in his own eyes. Whatever seemed right in his own eyes. You trust your eyes? Do you trust your adult eyes? I'm not sure that we should. Because in many ways, our adult eyes will mislead us. In many ways, our adult eyes will mistreat others. In many ways, our adult eyes are skewed to look at things differently than a child does. We look at things and we say, do I see things as innocently and humbly and faithfully as my children do? And in many cases, we don't. Do we trust our own eyes? You see, Satan knows that our proud and guilty hearts long to trust our own adult eyes. He said in Genesis 3, verse 5 to Eve, he says, God knows very well that the instant you eat the fruit, you will become like him, for your, here it comes, for your eyes will be open. You'll be able to distinguish good from evil. We know how the story ends. It did not work out the way Satan had indicated, because now all of a sudden, here's what happened. Now all of a sudden, Eve sees things a lot differently than she did before. Changed and duped by Satan, now she realizes that she could see things that would make her sinful and things that would be impactful. And today the human race has changed because of what Eve did. Adult eyes cannot be trusted. A child's eyes are what we should be looking through. In a child's unmistakable innocence and faith and humility, the child sees everything but doesn't know everything. Christian author Kenneth Gangel states that, quote, when you gaze into a child's eyes, you can see them wanting to learn, as if they're saying, I don't know what's going on. Tell me. Show me. End quote. This humble and faithful and innocent spirit is perfectly consistent with our sermon text. The disciples, with no innocence, saw rank and importance and prominence. Jesus, through an example of a child, showed them the very things that they failed to see. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 1, he says, follow God's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. I'm going to read John 5, 19, because it gives us a good indication of how we're supposed to follow this perfect scenario that's laid out in Scripture. John 5, 19, Jesus is talking to the Jewish leaders, and here's what he says. He says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing, and in the same way. Now, this is a powerful formula that we should be able to follow. And what that means is that Jesus watched God. Jesus followed God. Jesus knew what God was doing because Jesus looked through the eyes of a young man and a man who would follow his father to do whatever God had called him to do. I think we probably would admit that when we were children, we did the same thing with our parents. I know I did. I watched my dad. I tried to do the things my dad did. Sometimes that was good. Oftentimes it was very bad. It changed my life. But I realized that as a child, I saw my dad as my leader, a man that I could trust, a man who was seemingly innocent and seemingly faithful. I followed my father. Jesus watched and followed his father. A child's eyes humbly seek out their visual source for learning and guidance and instruction, and those eyes find solace and strength in their mother and father, whose eyes should always be fixed on their heavenly Father. You see, we as parents look to God and his word humbly and faithfully and innocently in the same way our children view God and look to us and trust in us. We need to look to God with a child's eyes. We need to seek out God through a child's eyes. And what that means is that we'll look to our heavenly Father and we'll say, I follow you. You lead me and I'll do what you want me to do. I'll follow your word, and I'll follow your will, and I'll follow your way. And I'll do so humbly, and I'll do so faithfully, and I'll do so innocently. And when we do this, everything in our lives changes. The focus of our lives becomes fixed on what is good rather than what is bad. Are our eyes faithfully and innocently fixed on Jesus? Solomon said in Proverbs 14, 26, he says, reverence for God gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and strength. Now, I love this passage because if you break it down, and you're going to just have to break it down into two sections, we're going to do that because you can see that it marries well. Proverbs 14, 26, reverence for God gives a man deep strength. That means when we respect and obey, when we follow God, it gives us strength. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because when that happens, when we follow God, when we have this respect and obedience for God, something amazing happens. Solomon says when this happens, the children of those parents will then choose to follow God and reverence God and follow their parents and reverence their parents as well. Folks, this is a great, great cycle that should perpetuate throughout society. How many people believe that it's happening within many of today's families? It's not. Because a lot of parents are saying this, I'm smarter than God. I know more than God, and I don't even need to read the Word of God to make it through my life. And children are watching this example, and a child's eyes are following this example, and we now see what is happening in our society. Folks, it is up to us as parents and leaders through a child's eyes to focus on our Heavenly Father. It is up to us to say today that we want to lead our families in the same way that God leads His family. This is what a child's eyes see. You know, it's interesting because I believe, and I'm gonna really, really designate this to small children. Small children do not believe or think that they are smarter and better than their parents. I cannot comment on teenagers. I was a teenager. I'm guilty. But when they're young, they don't think they're smarter than or better than their parents. I never thought that. I thought my parents were great. I thought they were so cool. My dad drove a tractor and a combine. I thought that was awesome. He had a lot of farmer friends. I thought that was so cool. This big circle of group of guys that went and had coffee and hung out in the morning. I thought that was pretty neat. My mom was so nice and so kind and so friendly. I thought she was amazing. Nothing could ever stop her from being who she was. You see, the little kids, they know they need their parents. I needed my parents. I loved my parents. I wanted to be around my parents. Little children, they trust their parents. They see the innocence in their parents. If the parents follow a faithful and and humble and innocent example that is found perfectly in the Word of God. Let me give you an example of this. The minister was waiting for dinner to be served while on a visit to one of his congregants' homes. The young son of the family was entertaining him in the living room while the boy's dad and mom were in the kitchen busily preparing dinner. So the preacher got curious and he said, what's for dinner, young fellow? The boy said, goat. The minister said, goat? That's unusual. Are you sure it's goat? Little boy said, oh, I'm positive. Last night I heard my dad say to my mom, might as well have the old goat for dinner tomorrow and get it over with. I'm the old goat, just to let you know. Just to let you know. And if you ever have me over for dinner and serve goat, I will leave. I'll leave. I promise you I'll leave. All right, but in seriousness, why did the child say it? Why did the child say it? Because this is how a humble and faithful and innocent heart heard it and saw it. What do we see with our own eyes? And are we a good example for little eyes? When our children's eyes look at us, do they see Jesus? You see, children naturally love Jesus, don't they? I mean, that's true. I mean, if you come to Vacation Bible School at the Covell Community Church, these people are crazy about Jesus. These little kids, I mean, it's just this church is filled with little kids running everywhere. They love Jesus. In fact, I read Matthew 19:14. I'm not surprised by this. Jesus says, let the little children come to me and don't prevent them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me ask you, why do they love him? Because when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, I didn't really know that I would love him. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you, I was kind of freaked out by him. And I'm going to give you an example. My mom and dad, back in the early, late 70s, they were into this thing called country western music. And because I thought my mom and dad were great and cool, and they knew everything, and they were smarter and better than me, I thought, well, probably I should listen to it as well. It's true. And so in 1978, there was this guy, and he really freaked me out because he looked exactly like Jesus. Dan, get ready, because I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you. I think you're going to agree with me, and you're going to remember this guy, because my mom and dad loved this guy. They had the records. They didn't have CDs back then. They had the records of this guy. But when I was growing up, whenever I thought of Jesus, I would think of this guy. Dan, can we show this? This is a guy named Eddie Rabbit, all right? If you've ever heard, and I'm gonna take you back to 1978, and you're going to see what I'm talking about here. You are literally going to see a visual. We've created this video. Dan and I have worked on this week. I called him up and then emailed him. I said, we got to play this video. So, Dan, go ahead and pop that thing in here. And this, you're going to be singing the song. Look at this guy.
Orange, New Jersey. Here's Eddie Rabbit.
Be a lie to say, I'm not gonna miss you. So please don't say goodbye now, till I've kissed you one more time and held you as I did when you were mine.
This is giving me very bad memories.
It'd be a lie to say,
I'm not going to make you listen to the whole
song. I don't
song,
still love you. I won't be thinking of you, girl. I'll never try to call you one more time or try to find a way to change your mind.
Cut it, Dan. I can't listen anymore. That's it. Oh, man. Okay. Here's the reason I bring this. All right. Admit it. You liked Eddie Rabbit, right? I did, too. I'll admit it. Here's the thing. When I was growing up, that was 1978. Sadly, Eddie Rabbit passed away in 1993. But in 78, we lived in a house, and I had this clock radio next to my bed. And so I would turn on my clock radio, and I'd fall asleep to this radio every night. And because I thought my mom and dad were cool, they knew everything, I thought, well, I'll listen to country western. The reason I bring this up is because you heard when Eddie Rabbit goes, ooh, I was terrified of ghosts as a kid. I really was. And every time Eddie Rabbit would sing that, I would pull the covers over my head and be like, Eddie, no more. So I had to show you. That's why I was freaked out by Jesus. Eddie Rabbit freaked me out. At age 10, I was saved. I never thought about Eddie Rabbit again. So, but here's the point. Dr. R.A. Torrey claimed that, quote, it is almost the easiest thing in the world to lead a child from 5 to 10 years of age to a definite acceptance of Christ. Why? Why? Because Jesus offers the greatest amount of humility and trust and innocence that a child longs to see. You see, children love Jesus because they trust Jesus, because they see the innocence and the faith of Jesus. And if they love Jesus and they'll follow Jesus, shouldn't we as adults do the same thing? Shouldn't we, through a child's eyes, look to our Heavenly Father and say, listen, you just leave me, I'll follow you. I'll trust you, and I'll humbly and innocently do what you want me and what you've called me to do. This is what he expects of us. Humility, trust, and innocence. Do we show our children that? Do we view God like that? Do we see God like that? Paul tells us in Romans 8:15 that we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling to him, Father, Father. Do we do that? By seeking our Heavenly Father through a child's eyes, we will come to him as ones who are first repentant. This is hugely important, folks, as ones who are hugely repentant. Look at verse 3 of our sermon text. It says, unless you turn from God, from your sins, you will be and become as little children. And this is important because if you want to know what the definition of repentance is, repentance is turning from sin and turning to God. It is a change of heart. And it is a change of mind. And when we say we want to be repentant, it says this. It says and it tells God, God, I am ready to turn from my sin and I'm ready to turn to you. It is very evident here that repentance leads to innocence. And this innocence is what we have to have and how we have to live and how we have to view things and especially how we have to view God. 1 Corinthians 14:20, Paul says this. He says, be innocent babies when it comes to planning evil. I love this passage. I love this passage. Because he says in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will perish. Now, why do I love this passage? Because it gives us hope that we won't perish. It gives us hope to know that we have eternal life when we put our adult eyes on our Heavenly Father. Repentance provides this innocence. And there's no other way. You can walk around and say, I'm the most innocent person in the world. God says, I know better. He says the only way to be innocent is to be repentant. In addition, as children of God, we must also, like children, be faithful because children are faithful. They trust in us. We have to trust in Jesus. Hebrews 3:2, for Jesus was faithful to God. That's the perfect example for us before God. We must be faithful too. This means we cannot be faithless, but must see God through our own eyes as trustworthy and deserving of our faith. And finally, we must, as God's children, be humble. Paul said in Philippians 2:3, he says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. And I did. I told you, I used to think of my parents as being better than myself. I thought they had it all together. I realize now that they probably didn't because I'm sure we don't either. But it really appeared as a little child that my parents had it all figured out. That every single thing that they did worked out. That every single thing that they did, I could trust to come out in the way that they wanted it to come out. Now looking at it, I realize that I was probably wrong. But at least, my parents, and especially my mother, followed the example of her Heavenly Father because she saw God through a child's eyes. She was innocent, and she was humble, and she was faithful. Verses 5 through 8 say this, Jesus showed the same humility in his divine standing with God. Pride cannot stand with God, Proverbs 8:13. Folks, Jesus sees children as faithful and humble and innocent. As God's children, let me ask you this, are we? Do we faithfully and humbly and innocently trust in and love our Heavenly Father the same way our children love us and trust Jesus? Look at verse 6. But if any of you causes one of these little ones who trusts in me to lose his faith, how can a child lose his faith? Folks, it's never ever because of Jesus, but it can always be attributed to us. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:21, Christ who suffered for you is our example. What did Jesus exemplify exactly? Here's what he exemplified. He exemplified faith in his Father. He exemplified humility in his behavior. And he exemplified innocence before his people. You see, these attributes are found in little children, and these attributes must be daily displayed by God's children. We must ask ourselves this today. When children look at me, what do they see? Do they see Jesus in us? And are we as humble? And are we as faithful? And are we as innocent as our Heavenly Father that we choose to watch and follow each and every day? In essence, can we say this? I will look to God and His Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit through a child's eyes. And I will long to trust them faithfully and humbly and innocently every day of my life. Folks, we close today knowing what God has called us to be and what God calls us to do. And so I ask today that as we sit here and among the masses of individuals who gather, that we would recognize and realize, especially if you're a parent. If you're a parent, this is incredibly important. That our eyes, our kids' eyes, are always watching us. If you say, I don't have kids, I can tell you this. If you're in the Covell Community Church, you have kids. Because they're everywhere. And if they're not looking to mom and dad, they're looking to you as role models and examples. And my question is today, are you worthy, through a child's eyes, are you worthy of being those role models and examples? We have to ascribe to be exactly like Jesus Christ. That's the example that we follow. Let's close with a new song. We never sung this song before. This is a song by Hillsong. It is called The Creed. Well, folks, in preparation for this Sunday, I had to do it was like a test, and I used my kids as an example. They're not up here, so they would attest that this happened. So I asked them last night, I said, so girls, what are your favorite days of the week? Knowing, of course, they would say Saturday, and they did not. Now, I realize that my kids clean our entire house, do all of our laundry. They literally are our Molly maids. And so Saturdays are the days that they clean. I forgot about that. And so I realized, oh, yeah, of course you don't like Saturdays. Here's what they said. They said, Dad, my favorite day, both of them, literally in unison, said, our favorite day is Sunday. And I said, really? I said, tell me why. They said, because we love church and we love Jesus. I said, wait a second. Do you love Jesus or do you love being in church? Because they said, no, we love Jesus. And I realized at that point, I'm like, wow, these are what a child's eyes see. They see how important Jesus is. They see how important it is to worship Jesus. And so today, my hope and my goal would be this, as adults, that we would see the same thing through a child's eyes, that we would be able to look at Jesus and say, my favorite day is Sunday. I cannot wait to come and worship Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you give us, and especially for Jesus. And I pray today that we as adults, that we would look through a child's eyes, that we would see things just a little more faithfully and a little more innocently and a little more humbly, and that we would follow you in the way that you've called us to follow you. We call out to you, Father, lead us, show us, guide us, direct us, because in many cases our eyes deceive us. And so I pray today that you would help us to be faithful in all that we say and do, and help us to be examples before our very own children. I ask it according to your will. Keep us safe, bless us, and help us to make an impact on the world and the work that we do this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a good week, everyone.